ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Remember what we said. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." The deception. They're serpents, and they're deceiving. They're trying to look like something they're not. And it's interesting because the children of Israel are, there's some questions in their mind about these guys. You know, they said, "Perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? Hey, what if you live in our area? We're supposed to wipe you out." Even Joshua in Joshua 9:8, "Who are you and where do you come from?" So it kind of seems like they were doing the right thing here. They were checking them out. It's kind of interesting. Think about it. They're asking these serpents, "Do you live in the area? It looks like you live here." And what do you think they're going to say? "Wow, you got me. You know, we thought we had one over on you, but man, you guys are really good. You tricked us. Yeah, we're from the area. You could wipe us out now." Is that what it says in Joshua 9? No, it doesn't say that. That's not what takes place because Satan and his workers, those who are against God, will use deception to get what they want. They want to destroy lives. And human wisdom is not going to defeat the enemy or expose the lies of the enemy. These things are spiritually discerned. The Word of God opened up by the Spirit of God. And I know I'm going to say that a lot because I want to drive point. I don't care if it's me teaching or anyone else teaching. You bring it before the Word of God and ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you truth or error. And if you think about the false teachings that have come into the church and the reason they have come in and are coming in is because we try to use human wisdom to discern between what is right and what is wrong. And it doesn't work. If God has placed something in your heart about a situation, you listen to Him. Don't rush in and make a foolish decision as the children of Israel are about to do. You listen to that still small voice and don't be fooled by the scheming of the devil. Don't trust in the wisdom of man. Well, the last point we're going to look at is starting in verse 8 of Joshua 9. "And they said to Joshua, 'We are your servants.' And Joshua said to them, 'Who are you and where do you come from?' So they said to him, 'From a very far country your servants have come, because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtoreth. Therefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, Take provisions with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are your servants. Now therefore make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took hot for our provision from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it is dry and moldy. And these wineskins which we filled were new. And see, they are torn, and these our garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey." Wow, they're good, huh? That's the art of deception, guys. Deception. And if you look at the epistles, you look at the letters that Jesus wrote to the churches in Asia Minor and the book of Revelation, you see that there was deception in the church. You know, you had the Judaizers who were coming in saying, yeah, you need Jesus, but you also have to be circumcised. You have to keep the law of Moses. You had the Gnostics who believed that Jesus didn't have a physical body. He kind of hovered over the ground because the physical body is evil, and thus God cannot inhabit a physical body. Lots of deception. You know, you look at Paul's letters to the church in Corinth. Man, there was a lot of problems there that he had to deal with. Problems with the gifts of the Spirit. And there is deception even. It's not the issue. There will always be deception in the church. The issue is, how do we recognize this deception so we don't fall prey to it? That's the key. And the answer is simple, and I've said it before. It's the Word of God opened up to you by the Spirit of God that is speaking to your heart to show you what's right or wrong. God does not want us to be deceived. But if we're unwilling to listen to him, man, we're going to be in trouble. We will be deceived. And, you know, the Gibeonites understand that Joshua and the children of Israel are a little reluctant. They're not sure. So they lay it on heavy. Oh, look at our provisions. They speak of us as being on the road a long time. Look at how raggedy our clothes are. It's a long journey. Hey, smell my clothes. You can tell, man. They are so good at deception, and that's the whole point of deception. You know, and I'm not picking on people that, you know, try to sell you things that you don't need, but they got to be good at it, right? They sell you something that you absolutely don't need, and they make you believe that you really need it. That's what these guys are doing. And look at what they're talking about. They don't speak of the victories of the children of Israel against Jericho or Ai. Think about that one for a minute. Why? Why don't they speak about those victories that just happened? They've been on a long journey, and there was no internet access where they were going. They couldn't know that. If they came from a long distance away, they would have never heard the victories at Jericho or Ai. What do they talk about? They talk about their victories on the other side of the Jordan River. Very, very smart in this deception. And again, we can't always trust our human senses, and that's what the children of Israel were doing. They looked, they saw, they smelled them. They came from a long way. And I use the illustration of wax fruit. I mean, it looks good. Today, you know, years ago, you can kind of tell wax fruit. But today, they are so good at making it, it looks real until you take a bite of it. Not good, right? And for the children of Israel, we were going to see where they failed, where we fail, and the lessons we need to learn from this. For the Gibeonites, it's not that they were repenting of their sins, turning to the Lord at this point. At this point, no doubt they are messengers of Satan who came to influence the children of Israel into making a huge, huge mistake. Paul even talked about it in Corinthians, and we went over it on Thursday in 2 Corinthians 6. Not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Think about that. This is the church in Corinth. How do we, or how did they as Christians embrace lawlessness? And I guess the question is to us as well. How do we as Christians commune with darkness? How do we as Christians have unity with the devil? What part do we as Christians have with those who are not Christian? How do we as Christians embrace false gods? That's what the Corinthian church was doing, and Paul rebuked them for it. And the Lord said, come out from among them. Don't stay with them. And you think, man, thank God we don't have those problems today, right? Of course we do. I'll give you a couple illustrations or a couple points on this. Because the music industry, Christian music industry today is crazy. We've actually had someone in the church go through all the music and eliminate those whose faith is questionable, who support unchristian things. And so we've eliminated them. It's getting harder and harder, though. Some of you know Matt Maher. He's a contemporary Christian music artist, songwriter. He was from Newfoundland, Canada. He lives in the United States. And it sounds good when you read that. That's from Wikipedia, contemporary Christian music artist. That's how they label him. Here's the thing. Matt Maher is a contemporary worship leader in the Catholic Church. Isn't that interesting? He said, I'm a worship leader, this is what he said, out of Mesa, Arizona. Primarily, I work full-time at a church. I've done some touring and traveling over the years, but I work 20 hours a week as a worship leader and 20 hours a week as a young adult minister. I lead a college Bible study. It's a Catholic church, which kind of surprises a lot of people. The joy that I really feel as part of my ministry is that I've been kind of going out more and traveling and working with different people, breaking down those stereotypes, because people have a lot of Catholic stereotypes. I'm just letting them know that there is a generation now rising of Catholics who recognize the gift of salvation that's been given to them and that see the need for a daily relationship with Jesus and pursue it. And you think, that's great. Well, let me continue on. And pursue him actively in his word, and also pursue it in the sacrament. Okay? Sounds so good. But understand, their salvation is different. It's a different Jesus. Jesus did not atone for all their sins. They must go through the sacraments. They must go through Mass. They must have communion. They must go to purgatory to atone for their sins. It's a different salvation. Is it such a big deal? It's a huge deal. Because he's touring with Protestant musicians. And what they're doing is showing there is no difference between the Roman Catholic faith and Protestant faith. We believe in the same salvation. There's a huge difference. And I came out of the Roman Catholic Church. I understand what their salvation is all about. Matt Maher said, I've been co-writing sessions with Protestants where we had that common denominator, and I've seen in a very radical way the real possibility of unity. He says, I look at it like the Catholic Church is my immediate family, and all my friends from different denominations are extended family. David Wang says, Maher is one of the most successful Catholic artists to cross over into mainstream Christian rock and find an audience among evangelicals. Isn't that interesting? Here's the thing, and I'm not going to read the whole article, but here's the big issue. Is the Bible tells us, and that's all I can go by, is that there is coming a one-world religion. What is the thing that is stopping Protestants from embracing this one-world religion? Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. God who became flesh and dwelt among us to go on the cross of Calvary to pay in full the penalty for our sins. Before he gave up his spirit, he cried out, it is finished, tetelestai, paid in full. Now, what we're saying by joining with the Roman Catholic Church is, God did his part, now I have to do my part. Well, if you struggle in that area with a work salvation, I would encourage you in about 3 or 4, maybe 4 weeks, to come to our study on Thursday evenings when we do the book of Galatians, because Paul doesn't pull any punches here. He just lets them have it, because they believe there were Judaizers coming in, destroying their faith. And the more I'm going through this letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, I'm like, wow, this is heavy. This is straightforward. And if Galatians aren't enough, go to Hebrews, because Paul's dealing with the superiority of Christ in the letter to the Hebrews who were thinking about going back to Judaism. Or read the book of Romans. There's so many that refute that. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. You can't add anything to it. And yet we see this today. I guess, I don't know if this is the correct way to say it, but we're not here to win friends. We're here to lead people to Jesus. And people go, oh, you know, all you talk about are the things that you're against. We just talk about the things we're for. Well, you know, if I'm against this, then I must be for that, right? And you need to know what I'm against. Because for those people who said, you know, all you talk about is what you're against and not what you're for, you just told me what you're against. Where in the scriptures do you see any of the writers holding back and not come against false teaching, false doctrine? But we're so afraid today. We kind of try and tiptoe around because we don't want to offend anyone. Hey, I'll tell you what, the scriptures are offensive. If you've been around, we've been through the Bible almost 2 times now. We're in 2 Corinthians. We're finishing up. Probably take us 3 more years, but whatever. But you heard it. And some of the things I say are going to rub you the wrong way. That's not bad. That's good. Lord, change my heart. If your word's rubbing me the wrong way, I'm wrong, you're right, change my heart. Careful in these days, because allowing deception to come into the church, I mean, again, use the Trojan horse. Bring the Trojan horse into the camp. Oh, look at this wonderful gift. Isn't this nice? We're all getting along together. And then the doors open up and here comes death and destruction. Be careful. The Gibeonites did that with Joshua and the children of Israel. It wasn't a frontal assault. It was a Trojan horse, and they allowed the enemy right into the midst of their camp. You just look at this stuff, man, that's coming in. Eastern mysticism, New Age teachings, yoga, transcendental meditation, the Hebrew roots movement. You've got, you know, Christian witches now, which I told you that before. It's just crazy. Even the New Apostolic Reformation, NAR, which speaks of, you know, they have all kinds of false teaching. They want to establish the kingdom of God so Jesus can come back. Well, look at this world. Are we doing that? No. Jesus is the one that establishes his kingdom on this earth. How do I know that? Because I read the book. I read his word. He told me. For 7 years, there's a tribulation period coming where God is going to pour out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. For 7 years. And at the end of those 7 years, the armies of the world gather to fight against God and his people, the Jews. And God comes back. Jesus comes back and destroys them. And then he sets up his king, where righteousness will flow, because the King of Kings will be on the throne of David, just as he promised. I look at what God's word has to say. I know there's a lot of people out there that have lots of ideas about many different things regarding the Bible, but what does the Bible say? And again, you know, what happens many times is these false teachings come in, you show them the scriptures, and they can't be bothered. That's a dangerous thing. Don't ever think like God is never wrong. We are wrong a lot. We have to be aware. I mean, again, we obviously want the church to grow, the kingdom of God to grow. That's our heart's desire. But Jesus warned us of something very interesting in Matthew 18, verses 31 and 32. It was the parable of the mustard seed. This is what he said. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." They go, "Oh, look, it's talking about the church just growing and blossoming." No, this is false growth. This is false church growth. It's abnormal. How do I know that? Well, first of all, this growth is abnormal. But the most important thing is birds of the air nest in its branches. And if you look at the parables, Jesus says these birds are messengers of Satan. They're his workers. So this is false growth. There's so much of it that goes against God. And, you know, again, the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. But there is a battle against it today, and we're compromising. And I'm not sure why. You know, for me, I'm not that smart, okay? All I have is his word. And I mean that in a good way. So when I teach, I go through the Bible. I go through the books of the Bible. I don't take a section here and then jump over here and do next week we'll be in another section. We go verse by verse through the Bible. Even though in Joshua we're taking our time and it's a slow process, on Thursdays we go faster. We take a chapter or two chapters a week. Because my text is there and this is what God has for us. If I start just doing topical, I could take you anywhere I want to go. But now I have to take you where God goes. And I find it very interesting that we're in this section of deception when I once again had to deal with someone who's been deceived. And my studies are done, I'm probably like 3 weeks or 4 weeks ahead of you guys in my studies. So this study was done 4 weeks ago before that deception was even made known to me. And look at what God has, the agony of deceit. Isn't that amazing how our God was? You think it was by accident? I don't think so. We have to learn the lessons that we see here in Joshua. Because it's dangerous out there for our people are trying to negate it or put it down. One gentleman put it like this. He said, "Over 40 years ago, Marla and I were mugged at gunpoint as we walked from our car to our apartment in Dallas, Texas. After that traumatic event, I never made the short walk without looking around for potential danger. I often saw women standing near where we were mugged, chatting together without a thought that they may be in a dangerous place. But after we were attacked, I was always alert and on guard, even to this day. If I venture outside in a public place after dark, I keep my eyes open for possible attackers. If you're unaware of potential danger, you're more likely to fall prey to it. And the problem with spiritual deception is that it's always more subtle and devious than an armed frontal attack. Again, Paul warned that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light and his servants as servants of righteousness. He doesn't come wearing a red suit with horns and a pitchfork, laughing wickedly as he promises to take you to hell with him. He comes offering greater light on Diffshoes. His servants are not outwardly, obviously evil. They pose as servants of righteousness, promising freedom, while inwardly they are enslaved by various lusts. Jesus warned about wolves in sheep's clothing. Their disguise enabled them to mix among the flock, but their aim was to destroy for their own gain. Now here, let me ask you this. How do you know there is a wolf in sheep's clothing? How do you know? The Word of God opened up by the Spirit of God. That's how you know. Hey, that's not in my Bible. Where are you getting that from? Right? Discernment is a scarce commodity in our modern evangelical circles. If you advocate discernment, you'll be accused of being judgmental or intolerant. Exactly what I've been accused of. This guy goes on. He says, when I first came here 23 years ago, one of the elders told me that I was arrogant because I had titled one of my sermons, What the Bible Says About Abortion. When I asked him to explain, he said, you can't be dogmatic. You can't say what the Bible says about anything. You can only state your opinion, but be open to their views. Some people have accused me, you're so they don't use the word dogmatic, but I'm so dogmatic about what I teach. No, I'm really passionate about what I teach. And the reason why I'm passionate about what I teach, because I believe what I teach with all my heart. You know, if I didn't, forget about it, right? What's the point? If it didn't impact my life, why should it impact yours? John MacArthur argues that faithfulness to Christ demands that we fight for the truth of the gospel, but the modern evangelical, swayed by the worldly emphasis on tolerance and love, has become apathetic to the whole concept of truth. In the introduction, he states, church leaders are, in his book, The Truth War, church leaders are obsessed with style and methodology, losing interest in the glory of God and becoming grossly apathetic about truth and sound doctrine. He adds, what we desperately need today are shepherds according to God's heart who will feed believers with knowledge and understanding. Absolutely. We can't change the fact that deception is out there and will always be out there. Jesus even warned in the last days that deception was going to be a big thing. And those are the days we're living in. What do we do with the deception that's out there? What did I say? The Word of God opened up by the Spirit of God. In fact, Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 warned them. He said, but I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up. Do not fall prey to the deception that is out there. Stand doctrinally pure. Don't be foolish like Joshua and the children of Israel were. And I know it sounds kind of harsh, but here's the thing that they didn't do. And they were deceived. And we'll see it next week. But it's in verse 14 of Joshua 9. They did not ask counsel of the Lord. Wow. In fact, we're told 3 days later, they knew the Gibeonites were in their land. In 3 days, they rushed to a decision. And it was foolish. The agony of deceit can only get into our lives, guys, if we don't seek counsel from the Lord according to his word. Never forget that. If that's the only thing you take home this morning from this message, bringing everything in the light of God's word opened up by the Spirit of God, then I'm blessed by that. Hopefully you got more, but that's the most important thing because the deceit's out there, but we have a truth tester and it just opens it up to our hearts and our lives, what's right and what's wrong. The Bible and the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you know, we look at Joshua and the children of Israel and we see their victories and it's so exciting. And then, Lord, we see their failures and it's because they didn't seek counsel from you. They didn't obey what your word had said. And Lord, what a lesson to us that even through our victories that we have to continue to fight on so we aren't deceived, so we don't disobey you, Lord. We want to follow you all the days of our life. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Just open your word up to us, Lord, so that we are not deceived. If any of us lacks wisdom, your word says that we should ask you, and you're going to give to us liberally. And I'm so thankful for that. Lord, guide us this week as we go out into the world. And Lord, if we know people that maybe have been deceived, that we could be able to share with them the word of God and pray that their eyes would be opened, that they could the truth again and not be swayed by the deception. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.